This is the Marketplace Morning Report. I'm David Brancaccio. Guess what? Europeans pay a lot less than Americans for important things like mobile phone service, airplane tickets, and a lot more. A noted economist says that's because Europeans are into competition and Americans are not. Thomas Philippon is at New York University's Stern School. His new book is called The Great Reversal. Thank you for joining us, Professor.
Thank you for having me.
So America, land of the free and land of free enterprise and competition, we must lead the world in that, no?
Well, I think not anymore. So if you look at markets in the telecom industry, for instance, cell phones or internet providers at home, these are markets where 20 years ago, the U.S. was clearly a world leader. Prices were lower here. More people had access to internet because services were better, faster, and cheaper. And today, it's just not true anymore. Most people in developed nations pay half of what U.S. households pay for their phone bill or their internet bill.
Yeah, I remember back in the early 90s when I was a foreign correspondent in Britain, phone service was much more expensive than it was here. They couldn't even give me an itemized phone bill. You get this big lump sum bill, almost like it was a water bill. But you're saying that things have changed in places like Europe, or you're saying things have changed in the United States?
Well, both, actually. So it started in Europe to some extent, and there is an irony there, of course, because most of the markets that have become more competitive in Europe over the past 20 years have done so thanks to U.S. ideas and influence. That is, you know, deregulation, free market, consumer choice. That's why Europe became slowly but surely more consumer-friendly over the past 20 years. And over the same period of time, the U.S., unfortunately, went into reverse.
Even though the United States has regulatory bodies that like to intervene, as we're speaking, there's a court case involving T-Mobile and Sprint. They want to merge. Some state regulators are not so sure that helps competition. How come the regulators aren't fixing places where markets aren't as competitive as perhaps they should be?
Well, I think that's part of the issue. The case in point, Sprint and T-Mobile. Right now, the average household in the U.S. pays more than $100 per month for their cell phone bills, which is twice as much as what people would pay in London or Paris or Berlin. And despite this, the regulators are seriously considering letting a merger of four carriers down to three happen in the U.S., which I think is just very surprising if you want to be polite. I think the problem is that it's a mixture of regulatory capture, extreme influence by lobbyists, and also the fact that some regulators are afraid of doing anything because when they do something, they are criticized whether they win or whether they lose.
That phrase, regulatory capture, that's when the regulated start really talking the language of the companies they regulate. They start sharing values, for instance.
Yeah, absolutely. And to be fair, this used to be the case in Europe. In fact, the idea of having very strong and independent pro-market regulator, this is an idea which is indigenous to the U.S. And it was implemented in Europe on a very grand scale because we wanted one regulator for the entire EU. And so everybody was worried that this regulator would be captured by some other country. And so what we did, we agreed to make it extremely independent, even much more independent than the FCC, FTC, and DOJ are in the US. And slowly but surely, that regulator has resisted lobbyists much more than the same regulators in Washington, D.C.
Lobbyists, though. I mean, there have been lobbyists bending the ears and pushing on the elbows of elected officials and regulators since the dawn of our republic. Your book makes the case that there's a lot of money now being spent on lobbying.
Yeah, much more so than before. It's probably a mixture of very different, you know, more polarization in political system leaves more room for lobbyists. Some naive free market ideology from the 80s started to become dominant. But the outcome, especially after the Citizen United case by the Supreme Court, was a huge increase in lobbying, either directly as lobbying money or via campaign finance contributions. And that has like multiplied by three or four over the past 20 years, to the point that now they really influence many regulatory decisions.
Interest groups and corporations can lobby all they want, and it will work or won't work depending on if the elected official is predisposed or not to listen. And that brings in the issue of how we finance campaigns in America.
So that's another difference with Europe, which is for historical reasons, we have strong limits, caps really, on campaign finance, so that the cost of a campaign is much lower in all of the countries of Europe than in the US. And since the cost is much lower, you don't need as much corporate donations to run a campaign. So I think, again, that's something that day to day, maybe you don't see the impact, but if you look at the cumulative effect over 20 years, it has a large impact on the way the economy is run.
So lobbyists, campaign finance, but you also make a point that in some industries, there's not a lot of competitors out there. I mean, there are reasons for that, but talk about that a little bit. Like in the banking industry, you would have expected Silicon Valley, for instance, to have innovated the heck out of that space, and they're only just beginning to do that.
Yeah. So there, of course, the other reason is that there are many industries where regulations have become quite burdensome. Finance has always been heavily regulated. And of course, that means that it's harder for non-bank companies to enter the banking landscape and industry and start competing with the banks. That was, by the way, true already in the 2000s. Walmart applied for a banking license back in the days and then was denied. It was denied under heavy lobbying by small and medium-sized banks who were worried about excessive competition from Walmart, which, you know, may or may not be true, but at the end of the day, that means the consumer is going to pay a higher price. And so in finance, you see that impact. In many industries, you see that impact.
And how is that remedied? A greater vigor in antitrust discussions? Or is there another way to spark competition in areas where you would say there's not enough?
If you look at regulations, looking at the U.S. had fewer regulations for entry into industry. So it was easier for young firms to enter and compete. People saw that and they said, well, that's a good idea. Let's do the same, and started doing exactly the same kind of deregulation at home to make it easier for firms to enter. Over the same period of time, the U.S. went into reverse and started adding regulations that make it harder for small firms to enter, grow, and compete in the U.S. So that's an argument for removing regulations, which is typically an argument you hear from the Republicans. And I think they are absolutely correct on that one. And then on the other side of the spectrum, you have the very big firms who are already very dominant. And for them, the only solution is a mixture of tougher regulation and antitrust to force them to make space to new entrants.
So just briefly, when you're in a social situation and someone refers to America's free market system, do you call them on that?
Oh, yes. No, I would absolutely. I mean, you don't have a free market in most of the telecom industry. The transport is also very cartelized. I mean, your airlines, the same story. Airlines used to be, tickets used to be much cheaper in the U.S. Now they are much more expensive in the U.S. than in Europe. Most industries have become, dominated by large firms that have lousy service and high prices. And it's costly. I mean, just you have to realize that for the median households, they pay higher prices than they should. And as consumers, that means their bill at the end of the year is about $3,000 too high. And if firms were to compete, so if we could, you know, go back to the U.S. as it was 20 years ago, then firms would compete more. And so they tend to invest and innovate more. They also, because they have lower prices, they tend to sell more. Therefore, they have to hire more workers. That tends to beat up the wage. That means that the labor market gets tighter and wages are beat up, roughly to the tune of about $2,000 per year for the median household. That's the opportunity cost of having low competition in the economy.
In median household, that's the typical household in America.
Correct. That's the household that earns about, you know, $45,000 to $50,000 per year.
NYU Stern School professor Thomas Philippon, his new book is called The Great Reversal, How America Gave Up on Free Markets. Professor, thank you.
Thank you so much.